Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. T-Shop. What it is, man. So it's like, they mad at the success. They mad at me. So, I gotta give them a reason why.
Everybody wanna hear good, oh, good. Show. Everybody wanna see a good show, good flow. Everybody wanna hear a good
flow,
good show.
Yeah,
everybody wanna see a good
yeah,
show.
Yeah, be the best, but nothing like the rest. Young 50 Cent, look how I'm doing it. Rick James to these rappers, y'all overdose. T-Shock the world, T-Shocking me. It's like two of me's, I'm kinda schizo. Frantic about the money, now I'm making it. How my best friends feel about my success. They like T-Man, it sucks at best. They background hating, like the singers do. I'm trying to have a good time, don't mess it up. You can't hold me down, I'm a money fat kid. Poppin' prodigy, yeah, I know he's proud of me. Pop my back like T, give him hell, son. Pyromaniac, I'm about to light it up. Yeah, pyromaniac, I'm about to light it up.
Flow. Everybody wanna hear good flow, good show. Everybody wanna see a good show, good flow. Everybody wanna hear good flow, good show. Everybody wanna see a good
show. News is my fuel, West Texaco, unleaded, but my flow still got lead. Desert Eagle flow, he ain't even know. Life kinda made up, MTV shows. I'm sick of news rappers tryna anchor me. Sink my ships, I'm battleshipping. Money in overnight, I'm doing night shows. Snapping pictures, paparazzi's gon' like those. I can't tell a lie, Ben Franklin shit. But of course I had to do this like Tiger Woods. Take his girls out back, no steakhouse. In the booth, constipated, kinda backed up. You better back up, I spit nerve gas. Chemical war flow, this war's not fair. And I'm winning, so stop making winter songs. This rap game's dirty, it's time to clean house.
Relatives, yes, and we're hoping to have a great show, a good show. That there was a cut from T-Shock entitled Good Show. Picked that song, it's a nice little mellow song, you know, to set a good vibe as we begin our flow, which we do every Wednesday at this time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Come Out of My People Blog Talk Radio Show Outreach Program. Today's show is entitled Generation Me, My, or I. I'm your co-host, Diplomatic Officer Robert Ben Israel. With me riding shotgun, but always able to ride behind the wheel, is my brother in kind, Minister Shedrick. Minister Shedrick, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shalom. How you feeling, brother?
Feeling good, brother. I mean, you know, I like the little flow that brought forth. It sets a nice little tone, you know?
Yes, indeed. You? That was a very nice. It's a nice day. Another day, you know, the Most High basically made for us to basically set the record straight about our people and try to get our people on one accord so that we can resurrect this temple. And on that note, it's all good over here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ta-da for that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's get right into it. You know, at the top of our shows, ladies and gentlemen, we like to come out bringing some current events and our articles of relativity. At this time, do you have anything for the listening audience, Hawk?
Yes, sir. I have been trying to follow this whole Cuban normalization situation that the United States had basically put out a couple of months ago, where they were there was a instance in this whole peace talks or normalization talk with Cuba, where the United States government was trying to basically extradite certain political prisoners that were held by Cuba. Now, a couple of months back, Cuba basically made mention that there was a list given to them regarding these political prisoners, but they never made any specific claim as to who was on the list. So Cuba was very suspect about it. But it came out several months later afterwards that Governor Chris Christie basically he headed out for Assata Shakur, whose real name is Joanne Chesmore. And here I have an article that is basically stating that lawmakers lambast Cuba's decision to protect New Jersey cop killer Joanne Chesmore. And it states here that lawmakers on Wednesday condemned a reported decision by Cuba's government to provide sanctuary for Joanne Chesmore, who escaped from a New Jersey prison in 1979 after being convicted of murdering a state trooper. A Cuban government official told Yahoo News this week that turning over Chesmore is off the table as the United States enter a new stage of talks towards normalizing relations with the communist government. U.S. report Scott Garrett said Cuba's refusal to surrender the convicted killer is a disgrace. The fact that Cuba flat out refuses to extradite Chesmore and questions the judgment of our legal system proves they are not worthy of having serious discussions to normalize relations with the United States, said Garrett, a Republican whose 5th district includes parts of Warren County. Continuing any discussion after hearing DeCastro's regime position on this matter would be an insult to the families of these criminals' victims who have been deprived of justice for too long. I'm sorry, brother. I have to stop right there because the utter hypocrisy of these people. I mean, it's filtered all throughout this particular article. I'll stop there because we all get the point that the United States basically initiated, from what I understand it, initiated the peace talks and normalization talks with Cuba, and now they're upset that they won't give them the one person who they are actually looking for out of the so-called 56 or 65 list of political prisoners that they wanted. She was pretty much the top gun. They really had it out for her. And as it was reported, another article that I had read previously, that they have a $2 million bounty out for her. And the people who was operating under the Fidel Castro regime basically said that, no, they will not extradite her. They will not deny her political asylum because that is what they gave her. And they knew that that was what this was about all along. Another story that made the news, brother, was the talk of the Department of Justice and their clearing of this Darren Wilson officer who shot an unarmed black brother last year. And it goes on to state that the Justice Department won't prosecute a former Ferguson, Missouri police officer in the shooting death of an unarmed black 18-year-old, but in a scathing report released Wednesday, faulted the city and its law enforcement for racial bias and unconstitutional practices. Okay. Oxymoron. Okay. federal officials concluded there was no evidence to disprove former officer Darren Wilson's testimony that he feared for his safety, nor were there reliable witness accounts to establish that Michael Brown had his hands up and surrendered when he was shot. But they also said the shooting occurred in an environment of systemic mistreatment of blacks, where officials traded racist emails and jokes, and where minorities were disproportionately stopped and searched, fined for petty offenses and objected offenses and petty offenses and subjected to excessive police force. Now that our investigation has reached its conclusion, it is time for Ferguson leaders to take immediate, wholesale, and structural corrective action, Attorney General Eric Holder said in a statement announcing the findings. The decision in the August 9th shooting had been expected, in part because of the high legal standard needed for a federal civil rights prosecution. Wilson, who had said Brown struck him in the face and reached for his gun during a tussle, also had been cleared by a Missouri grand jury in November and later resigned for the department. And speaking of that, there were some emails that were basically leaked in the World News regarding this particular police department. It was filtering some emails, and they filed a statement in regards to where they want to later claim that it was referring to President Barack Obama, stating that, stating something, and I paraphrase, something on the rounds of a black male being able to hold a job down that long or something. And you have to really go back and reread the statement, because I don't have the statement in front of me, and I don't want to misquote anything. So I did say I paraphrase, but it just goes to show you that these people's minds are already made up, at least most of them. Have a particular notion about how they handle their affairs regarding a particular class of people here. And it's the, you know, our brothers and sisters, they don't comprehend, you know, the commercial affairs of these people. They have a system set up in place, and they honor that system. It's us that don't honor our place in it, you know, and I'm not saying that we should, you know, we rightfully deserve to be mistreated. What I am saying is that our brothers and sisters need to wake up and see that this is not our house and we don't run it. And if we want to run a house the way that we want to run it, we need to go and build our own house. And on that note, brother, I yield.
Yes, sir. It's time for that, Doc. Absolutely. Thank you for both of those particular articles, brother. And you know what?
No problem.
I also had a couple of articles just pretty much to piggyback off what the brother has said. I know the listening audience is pretty much well-versed as of right now as far as the homeless individual who was killed by the Los Angeles Police Department the past couple of days. I'm just going to just touch briefly on that article, and I have another article I want to bring forth before we get a little bit further into our show. We may have to do a part two, but that remains to be seen right now. The article is from www.foxnews.com. It's entitled U.S. Marshals, Homeless Man Killed by Los Angeles Police Had Warrant for Violating Probation. Los Angeles. U.S. Marshals say a homeless ex-convict killed on Skid Row by Los Angeles police had an active warrant for violating probation in a bank robbery case. Deputy U.S. Marshal Matthew Cordova said Tuesday that a federal warrant was issued January 9th for 39-year-old Charlie Saturmin Robinet, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, after he didn't provide monthly reports to a probation officer in November, December, and January. A law enforcement official identified Robinet as the man killed Sunday. The official wasn't authorized to speak publicly and talk to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. Robinet was released on May 12th after being convicted in 2000 for holding up a Wells Fargo branch and pistol whipping an employee to pay for acting classes. During the confrontation with police on Saturday, Robinet is accused of trying to grab a probationary officer's gun before three officers fatally shot him. Now, looking at this, I was able to kind of see the actual video itself. It was a little bit from the vantage point that I was able to see for the video. It looked as if they were trying to go ahead and subdue this individual. I really didn't get the full breakdown of what actually occurred before that. For the most part, what was released from what I was able to understand was a particular video to where you had a few officers who were going about dealing with the individual, trying to subdue the actual individual. However, they were unsuccessful and in the process had to tase this individual, to which he wound up falling to the ground. It's not really clear. There may be other videos out there that may show it more in detail, but it's a case the listening audience is not familiar, which I'm sure they are. It's pretty much nationwide now. It's probably internationally or gone viral at this moment. Whereas they subdued this individual, three or four police officers subdued him, had him, if I'm not mistaken, in handcuffs, and then shot him. So there's a video that's going on this particular topic at hand. And I just want to go into the other one while we're quick on time. It's just to piggyback off what the brother talked about and still dealing with the police. Now, we're not here to kind of reinforce any victim mentality or victim state of mind consciousness. We do have a reverence for our people and the love for our people, and we are very active in our people's affairs. However, we have been stating time and time again the remedy for such situations. This article is from thegothamist.com. It's entitled FBI Director Admits Some Cops Are Racist. Invoking the deaths of Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and Detectives Weehan Liu and Rafael Ramos, FBI Director James Corney gave a speech at Georgetown University today. Today being, this was, let me see these days, it doesn't state the date. Okay, in which he recognized that law enforcement in America struggles to cope with a history of enforcing a status quo that was often brutally unfair to people of color. Something happens to people in law enforcement. Many of us develop different flavors of cynicism that we work hard to resist because they can be lazy mental shortcuts, Corney said. Police officers on patrol in our nation's cities often work in environments where a hugely disproportionate percentage of street crime is committed by young men of color. Sometimes something happens to people of goodwill working in that environment. After years of police work, officers often can't help but be influenced by the cynicism they feel. He continued, the two young black men on one side of the street look like so many others the officer has locked up. Two young white men on the other side of the street, even in the same clothes, do not. The officer does not make the same association about the two white guys, whether that officer is white or black, and that drives different behavior. The officer turns toward one side of the street and not the other. Corney, who is perhaps best known for keeping J. Edgar Hoover's request to wiretap Martin Luther King Jr. on his desk as a reminder of the corruptive influence law enforcement can have, also quoted a song from Avenue Q, parentheses, everyone's a little bit racist, close parentheses, and stressed his transparent affection for cops before adding, I'm not looking to let law enforcement off the hook. Those of us in law enforcement must redouble our efforts to resist bias and prejudice. We must better understand the people we serve and protect. By trying to know deep in our gut what it feels like to be a law-abiding young black man walking on the street and encountering law enforcement, we must understand how that young man may see us. We must resist the lazy shortcuts of cynicism and approach him with respect and decency. Corney also admitted that his agency neglected to collect enough data necessary to study the issue of race in policing. It's ridiculous that I can't tell you how many people were shot by the police last week, last month, and last year. The only other member of the Obama administration who has been willing to speak so frankly about race was Corney's boss, outgoing Attorney General Eric Holder. Of course, the fact that the headline above is in fact news is indicative of the problem. A speech is just speech. And that ends the article. Now, as you can see, brothers and sisters, we're seeing repetition of our brothers and sisters being shot down by these police departments and law enforcement in these particular streets. Now, you know, from what we're able to gather and we're able to understand for myself, I haven't been so much in tune with it. I've been able to be somewhat informed as to these particular articles. However, it goes to show that, and they've even had certain things on the table to where they would make out a particular Negro's uniform, which would be a hoodie or baggy jeans or things of that particular nature. And based upon this quote-unquote uniform, these particular law enforcement officials, they pretty much target these individuals with these uniforms, that quote-unquote uniform. So it's very, and we're going to touch a little bit more as we go forward into this show, into a little bit deeper in terms of some of these things, but I just wanted to touch up on that the most important thing, brothers and sisters, is our behavior patterns. We have to change our behavior patterns. We have to carefully monitor those things that we put into our psyche as well as within ourselves. So it's very important that we understand these particular things as we move forward. Now, with time pressing, I will yield it back to Minister Shedrick with his basic. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, you brought forth a very interesting topic, reflecting 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I thought to myself, because I see it so much now, where people have basically become lovers of themselves. They become blasphemers, become whoremongers, they become full of lust, vain, hardy, high-headed, high-minded. And in all actuality, a lot of this is motivated by self-righteousness. And this is always and has always been a threat to the natural order of things. Because when we try to, well, first and foremost, so that people don't get it twisted and start formulating these ideas of what self-righteous is, we understand, and we've come to understand, that righteousness is the right use of the law. Now, when you apply, when you take that term and you say self-righteousness, what we mean is you basically have come the law, you have become the law for yourself. You take matters into your own hands. You basically decide to define your life and how you think, or what you think pleases the Most High. And what you're going to find out is that because we've become so corrupt in our thinking, and that we really don't understand the times, we don't understand ourselves in these times, that we decided to take matters into our own hands, and we decided to discredit principles that have been set forth by people who have seen the world before we have. They already have said, there is nothing new under the sun. I've seen people who have decided that, okay, we can't follow everything in the law. We can't follow everything in the book. So what will I do? We'll come up with doctrine. And then they start to become the law for themselves. Some people start to give themselves these different titles. I'm a noble, I'm a doctor, I'm a sage, I'm a lord, I'm a king, I'm a god, I'm a goddess, I'm an imam. And none of you have been sanctioned. Some of you are giving yourselves these titles, and some of you are giving yourselves these alter egos, and you have not been sanctioned to do so. And it's a misrepresentation of your own self and what you actually try to stand for. And you're leading a whole bunch of people into all these different idolatries. And that's what's wrong with our brothers and sisters. What has to stop is this egoism that we have about the world, where we think we know everything, because we don't. If we did, we would have figured out a long time ago how to get out of slavery, because we had the chance to do it. You know, but, you know, this is an epidemic, brother. The self-righteous attitude, you know, that our brothers and sisters seem to have. And then they wonder why they always have this woe is me attitude. Every time something doesn't go the way that they wanted it to go, because they took matters into their own hands instead of applying the laws that were set forth. And when I say the laws that were set forth by our ancestors, I'm talking about the 613 law, statutes, and commandments. Make no mistakes, our ancestors formulated that particular contract with the Most High. And those are the laws that we were supposed to carry it out. Most people are going to say, well, those laws were created by man. Yes, and they wrote that. But if you had read the scriptures, you would know that. But man also created the dollar bill, but that doesn't stop you from spending it either. People have to get out of this self-righteous attitude, because it's making them say things and think things and do things that are contrary to themselves and contrary to the natural law. And on that, brother, I yield to you. What do you have to think? What do you have to say about that, brother?
You know what, brother? You know, just listening to what you're saying, you're absolutely 100% correct, you know, in terms of our brothers and sisters, specifically all of our particular people, the West Indians, Jamaicans, Haitians, Western Spanish people, speaking people, tribe of Judah, and all of the 12 tribes collectively. You know, the most important thing is to have and identify and utilize and put forth that right use of law. Because, like as the brother just indicated, once you become and you go ahead and you take in these 613 laws, statutes, and commandments, and you go ahead with your life as well as your particular existence, you will become the law. You will be the law. So I got to definitely co-sign with you on that, brother. You know, with the title at hand, you know, I came up with the title as a way to bring, you know, the vibe with our audience, you know, about some of the behaviors that are being exhibited by this particular generation in particular, which would be known as what the media announces them to be, the millennials, as well as the Generation Y and the baby boomers generation. Now, first off, we will start with the scripture that was the impetus of the title, 3rd chapter, 2nd verse. It says, for men shall, and the listening audience can go into the description and read it, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We wanted to go to 2 all the way down to, what is it, 15, 16, 17? However, we're just going to specifically speak about that. Now, lovers of their own selves. Now, when you think about lovers of their own selves, can we get a further elaboration? Now, let's look up the etymology of self. Let's see. Here we have the etymology of self. One of the particular definitions that stuck out to me was one's own person. Now, this can be taken two different ways. Now, one, because the words within themselves cancel themselves out. But two, because people are content with being persons. Now, we will go into content in a little bit. For now, we will be able to tackle this. Now, as we all know, property can't own property. So the one aspect where we in the nation know about this particular aspect of it doesn't apply to those who don't want to govern. However, let's look up persons in Black's Law, 5th edition. You can please bear with me 1 second while I go look for that. We will go right into it. 5th edition reads and states, and I'm just going to read this basic thing here. It says, in general usage, a human being, a Okay? So now, in general use as a human being, going further into this, we know, based upon how we've been speaking about this plenty of times, of a human being basically being a monster. So could this scripture be also stating that the persons were in love with a monster within themselves, or the animalistic, degenerative existence that exists within them? Now, let's look up monster. Monster, malformed animal or human creature afflicted with a birth defect. Repulsive character, object of dread, awful deed, and one of the most important things that you can think of. This is, by the way, this is from the Etymology Dictionary. My apologies, I didn't state that initially. And the last definition is, as if you've been reading this book, you will understand this particular thing. It says, an abomination. Now, does not this word abomination appear in the Bible? Now, anyone not within the laws, statutes, and commandments are an abomination. Is not worshiping your law, your lower self, an abomination? What laws do you go by? Do you go by any? Okay, let's take a look at this word, covetous. All right? Covetous means desire for possessions or another possessions. Once again, persons only dealing with possessions. Do you not desire? Now, you got to look at this particular situation and think about for yourself when you're dealing with persons dealing with possessions. Now, that has to be correlate with yourself, because do you not, brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters specifically, do you not desire these rappers, these basketball, football players' possessions? Brothers and sisters, I know you've been hearing us plenty of times here stating that that these brothers and sisters utilizing these possessions, these are bondservants, these are slaves. Slaves utilize possessions. When you go ahead and change your status form on a record, this is looked at as a particular acquisition. So brothers and sisters, why would a bunch of slaves want to emulate another bunch of higher paying slaves? That's my question I have to have to you, brothers and sisters. And that's very, very important, because you have to look around. You have to look around your surroundings, brothers and sisters, and be able to identify these particular things and be able to see these things and understand these particular things and just vibe with them. And right now, I will go ahead and yield to the brother right now.
Thank you, brother. You said a very interesting piece when you spoke about the word covetous. And, you know, another thing I notice about our brothers and sisters with this very covetous attitude is they want more than just material things. They want power. And they want power for all the wrong reasons. They don't even get what power actually is, because if they did, they would not even test the power. They wouldn't test the power of the Most High in a very negative way, considering the fact he's understood to be, he has a very jealous nature about himself. What do I mean jealous? I mean someone who is angry when provoked. Understand that nature is very meek. It can only take for so much, and when it does, it's like a person who's letting you just say what you want to say until you really push them to that edge, and then that's when they unleash the wrath. And this is what the Most High does, and this is how he acts towards covetous people. We have our people who speak evil of dignitaries, who say very vain things about people and high places, and be that as it may, there may be some people who are exercising their powers to do some very unnatural things. But what you have to understand is this: if you do not know something about someone, you should not basically get out there and start a propaganda campaign. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, they're just doing it because they're rich. Oh, they're evil because they're rich. Money and riches does not make a person evil. Mm-hmm. People are already evil before they touch these things. It's just that when they get these things, they decide to use these things for evil things. But that those particular material things are inanimate. They cannot make you do anything that you do not have the free will to turn away. As you and you know, as our elder always tells us, just because you have the right to do certain things doesn't mean that you should do them. But going back to it, our brothers and sisters have to understand that these people are assigned particular roles in this specific government because they created it. They formulated their government and set up their government the way that they wanted to set it up. And because your parents, under tacit consent, basically gave them the right and contracted their rights away to these particular people, they were basically, they basically had an honor system here. You had to honor it as a citizen. You pledged your allegiance to these particular principles that, you know, these people set forth. And then when these people are basically honoring their particular side of the contract, you speak evil of them when they're doing exactly what you voted and elected them to do. Now, what are you going to do that you understand that this is how God, this is how governments work? It's all contractual. Just like you have the right to stay in a government and accept the principles that are being given to you, you have the right to basically take that government and their contract and give it back to them. But you must have something else to replace that particular government with. And there are a lot of different regimes out there. But there's only one that can really save our particular people. And that's theocracy. And the laws that govern the particular theocracy that our people should be enforcing are the laws of the Hebrews, which is basically set forth in the Torah, the 613 law, statutes, and commandments that was basically resurrected by our forefathers from studying nature and basically grasping nature and basically executing it so that they can basically bring to fruition the actual powers of the Most High. What do you think you're doing every day that you're basically having commerce with each other, male and female relationships, father and son, daughter and mother, neighbor and neighbor, government and citizens? Think that over. All in all, our brothers and sisters, don't allow your covetous nature to put you in a position where you think that you have to resort to self-righteousness to get that particular power. Because when you get that power, you're only going to use it for unnatural gain anyway. You need to revamp your way of thinking. But the only way that you can do that is by actually getting to know the Most High, finding out what it is that He wants us to do. You are designed for a purpose. He loaned you your life. Now you honor that loan by basically following those laws. And on that note, brother, I yield. What do you think about that?
Yes, sir, brother. You mentioned one point that I really, really wanted to touch on, and it's kind of going to go ahead and help me segue into my next piece I'm going to speak about. And ta-da for that. Yes, you had some very, very, very interesting points, brother. I just like to say yes, sir. You know, when you spoke about pledging allegiance to principles, you know, us here at this nation, we pledge allegiance to the principles of the Most High Almighty. Who do you pledge your allegiance, and what principles do you go by? Do you go by a secularist type of principles? Do you believe in secularist principles, which is doing away from that which was created and which you believe in the secular capacity is the proper way to go about living your proper existence? But guess what? That particular entity that went ahead and went forth with a secularist mentality or secularist principles or ideologies and things of that capacity at one time or another had to get it from this particular principle that laid forth by this Most High Almighty. So who do you pledge your allegiance to, brothers and sisters? That's the key question. Who do you pledge your allegiance to? And, you know, going a little bit further, man, you know, this generation, you know, speaking on pledging allegiance to certain principles, you know, this generation are a very rebellious generation. They don't like the fact of following rules. It's more so like you have brothers and sisters now out here with these type of things like YOLO, meaning you only live once, so why not do what you have to go ahead and go do for today, because you only live one time, so you might as well just go ahead and go do it. And then you see the social media aspect of it where you have these ice bucket challenges, these fire challenges. Then I saw one, there was a, over here in the East Coast, they had a snowstorm over here. You had brothers, I've seen mostly, they were mostly Caucasoid, but you've seen a few brothers, and the way this particular blizzard challenge was, you had brothers jumping out of a second floor window, jumping into the snow with only a bathing suit on. Brothers and sisters, huh, man, we gotta step this up, brothers and sisters, because this is madness. This is madness. In one particular incident, there was a brother who did that fire challenge, and he wound up having, what is it? I believe it was second-degree burns because he wanted to do this fire challenge. Now, those not familiar with the fire challenge, supposedly the way this fire challenge works is an individual goes in a bathtub and he pours some type of liquor or alcohol, whatever the case may be, and then he winds up, lights himself on fire just to go ahead and try to see how fast he can put it out. So it's like a competition in that particular capacity. Then you had all these particular challenges. Now, they don't like to follow rules, but what they do is they like to do what makes them happy. Like, for instance, you hear these families out here, you know, within this society saying, well, whatever makes you happy, it's no problem. Long as you're happy, long as you may have made happy. Let's look at that word happy for a minute. Happy, mm-hmm. Lucky, chance, fortune, greatly pleased, and content. So you're content with your particular existence, brothers and sisters, to being a person, to being a person who is an insular possession of another entity that owns you and you are property of that particular. Basically, that is madness, brothers and sisters. You have to get to the point to where you have to look at this, reflect on this, and get out of that happy stupor, because that's what it is. It's a happy stupor. It's an irrelevant type of feeling that you're going through, a rational emotion that you're dealing with. You have to get out of that stupor. Like, we also have things where, I mean, we have a generation now that has the highest self-esteem out of all generations. But what it winds up leading to is a state of narcissism. What do I mean? Okay, let's go to an article. There's an article linked, and I know you brothers and sisters out here, you brothers and sisters have seen this. It's clearly evident. Every time you turn on social media, you see it. There's an article states, selfies link to narcissism, addiction, and mental illness, says scientists.
Mm.
Okay? The growing trend of talking smartphone selfies is linked to mental health conditions that focuses on a person's obsession with looks. According to psychiatrist Dr. David Veal, 2 out of 3 of all the patients who come to see me with body dysmorphic disorder since the rise of camera phones have a compulsion to repeatedly take selfies. Cognitive behavioral therapy is used to help a patient to recognize the reasons for his or her compulsive behavior and then to learn how to moderate it, he told the Sunday Mirror. 19-year-old Danny Bowman's selfie addiction spiraled out of control, spending 10 hours a day taking up to 200 snaps of himself on his phone. Okay? The teenager is believed to be UK's first selfie addict and has had therapy to treat his technology addiction as well as OCD and body dysmorphic disorder. Part of his treatment at the Maudsley Hospital in London included taking away his iPhone for intervals of 10 minutes, which increased to 30 minutes and then an hour. It was excruciating to begin with, but I knew I had to do it if I wanted to go on living, he told the Sunday Mirror. That is madness, brothers and sisters. That is madness.
Yes.
Public health officials in the UK announced that addiction to social media, such as Facebook and Twitter, is an illness, and more than 100 patients sought treatment every year. Selfies frequently trigger perceptions of self-indulgence or attention-seeking social dependence that raises the damn if you do and damn if you don't specter of either narcissism or low self-esteem, says Pamela Rutledge in Psychological Today. Okay? Now, the article goes on a little bit more. You can see this at ibtimes.co.uk. You can check that article out. Now, brother, listening to that, what do you have to touch on with that, brother?
You know, I'll make this very brief. It's pure insanity. That's exactly what that is. It's insanity. You're trying to do the exact same thing over and over every single day, and you're trying to achieve a different result. And I did say trying to achieve a different result. Or some people trying to achieve the same result.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity. You're trying to get as close to perfection in your own folly. Like, it's sickening. And I see it all the time. And it's not just with the selfies. It's with these people who are committing these heinous crimes. There's people out there who are promoting these sexual agendas, homosexuality. There's these people out there who are promoting this social injustice program, this victimization program. You're doing something is wrong because you're not getting any remedy out of it. There's no satisfaction in what you're doing. So you just keep doing it. And guess what? You keep getting the same result. Nowhere. Nothing is coming out of it.
That's right.
Why don't you try this? Try this, for instance. Why don't you look at yourself and ask yourself who you really are? And why don't you go and do some history? And then once you go and do some history, then you'll start to appreciate yourself for what you really are. But what you also got to accept before you go and do some history is that you got a real big problem. You got some real issues. And a lot of us got some very disgusting habits that we really need to change. As you can see in the article that the brother just read, this brother said that he knew he needed help. 200 selfies a day? It's not that serious. You know what, brother? I guarantee you, if you look at his pictures, they all look the same. I see it all the time. I see a girl. This girl may have on a different outfit, but she'll have the same pose 999 times. And all the same pose, the same look, the same duck mouth, the same butt tooting up, the arm on the hip. Well, you look the same. You might as well just use that picture for every day and going day in your life because you look the same in all your pictures. This is insanity.
Yes, sir.
And brothers and sisters, it's the same thing that we're doing with everything that it's this self-righteous attitude that we got going on that we're trying to implement in our lives that just don't work. You're doing it the same way all the time. What are you doing every day? Marching in the streets for justice. Marching. Have you ever tried exercising the law? Have you ever tried? What did the sister the other day? People keep being homeless. Our people are always homeless. I say, why do you think that is? Because we never learn how to save our money. We don't learn how to buy property. But what we do know how to do is we know how to wait on somebody to give us something. And we keep doing it. We've been doing it for the last 400-500 plus years.
That's right.
That's got to stop. That's not what the Most High put us on this earth for. You meant to tell me the white people can do it. That's what y'all like to say. The white people can do it, but black people can't do it. You set up the system for them to do it. That's all I got to say about that, brother. Don't even get me started, man. That's all I yield on that, man.
Absolutely. 100% correct. And you know what? Like, just touching on that even further with the social media aspect of it, you got these sisters nowadays who are infatuated with, there's this picture on the media of Kim Kardashian. She's out here, and supposedly it's supposed to be a picture of her, you know, her rear end. And now you have sisters in droves out here getting these butt injections. Butt injections. Butt pads. Killing themselves. Some of them using cement, cement paste to go ahead and fill up their rear ends just to have these particular, you know, body parts like their particular quote-unquote idols. You know, and that's the sad part about it. And then you have, brother, the baby boomer generation to whom they also join in on this, and they also, in a way in which their actions also perpetuate these younger generations to do it. You know, because a lot of times this baby boomer generation, because that was the first sign of, like, a form of rebelliousness, was that baby boomer generation. So now some of those ideologies have been passed down to a lot of this new generation here. So now a lot of these particular people are living the way that this baby boomer generation has, you know, put forth to their offspring. And that's another particular part. But now, going even further to this generation, you, me, and mine, think about this. Look around yourself, brothers and sisters. Look around at the things that you see every day. You know, MySpace, you have a radio show, My 97.1. My AOL, my Yahoo. Why does it have to be my? Why does it have to be just yours? Does virtual reality and social media really form, you know, like when you go ahead and you're going on this MySpace or you're going on Facebook or whatever the case may be, are those people, how many of those people are your true friends? How much social interaction do you have when you're dealing with the social media? How much of it? How much of social interaction do you have when you're on that cell phone? Because you look down the streets and you see people walking, you're going to see them with their head down looking into that phone. Mm-hmm. That's what you don't, they're minimizing this particular social interaction. That's why we cannot get together and come together in a collective fashion, because it's all about me. Look at the iPod, the iPhone, iTunes. Look at these things, brothers and sisters. Look around yourself and realize, why is it before these things happened, you had a Walkman and CD player? Where was the I and the Maya notes? Think about these things. There's an energy that's out here, brothers and sisters, that's being perpetuated on you. And you have to be able to see these particular things, because that is the energy that is causing you to go tap into that ego, that lower state of mind consciousness. And you have to get away from that, brothers and sisters. Another one, YouTube. You know, like, you got YouTube. YouTube. Every time you turn around, you got you, I, me, my. What is going on here? Where are the family? Where's the family? Where's the morals? Where's the etiquette? Where do people come around and go ahead and work together? Why do nowadays we don't sit at the table together as a family unit? Why does one have to go into the room and eat his food while the others sit at the table? Or one person sits at the table. Everybody goes in their respective rooms and eats, you know, eats their own particular food while watching their own television, which is television. What's going on here? You got to look at this particular thing and understand that this is a generation of selfishness. Of selfishness, which is what the rings true with the prophecy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which we pointed out, which is the desire for possessions. You brothers and sisters, you look at these rap stars, these basketball players, and you lust after those possessions. But you don't realize, brothers and sisters, that those possessions, they don't belong to these individuals. They don't belong to them. They don't. You know, they don't belong to them at all. Matter of fact, more times than others, they're being leased out by these corporate pimps, like we talked about before. See, brothers and sisters, you got to pay attention to the game out here. The game is being played, but you're getting played by the game. It's either play
exactly.
or play. And you got to play, brothers and sisters. And the way to properly play, but we're not here to play, is to self-govern. And that's why we come out here every particular week to let you know that you do have a remedy of tribes and Aboriginal nations. But we're not here to play. We're letting you know that right now. And we're not about generation you, me, my, or I. No, we're about collectivism. We're about brotherhood. We're about sisterhood. We're about all of us being a family. I call this man on this line here my brother. That is my brother.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? We're a family unit. We're getting that family unit. I know some brother out there is listening, and he wants to have a real family. Where's these families out here in these gangs, man? Where are they? They may seem like they family, but what happens when you get put down? Where they at? Where they at? 9 times out of 10, you ain't getting no love from them. You ain't. I'm not down in the gangs because, you know, there's some positive and there's some negative with them. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, you got to understand the game, man. And with that, I will yield to you, Rock.
Shalom, brother. I'm going to speak very briefly. I'll say this. You said something very interesting about the me, my, I generation. And what they fail to realize is, brother, is that America has a very, very high reputation for delivering false possession or false sense of ownership to its citizens. Oh, we declare independence in 1776, July the 4th. But what they don't tell you is that Britain still has this land annexed to its kingdom. They control it. They run it. They run you. Oh, we give you MySpace, but you don't own your privacy. Oh, we'll give you a title to your car, but you got to follow our laws in order to drive on our streets. Are you kidding me? Are y'all that damn blind? So it's my house. But you got to do inspections. You got to pay taxes. You got to pay a mortgage. It's yours. Those are my kids. But as soon as you treat them wrong, the state come and take them.
Mm-hmm.
You brothers and sisters better wake y'all asses up and get out of this false sense of possessionhood that you think you have. Because what you think is yours is not yours. Not even the damn life that you have in your body is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up.
That's right.
I yield, brother.
Yes, sir. And another thing, what about when you get into these relationships with your consort, well, with your woman or your wife? What about that? What about, oh, that's my wife. But what's going to happen when you is this the love that you deal with, is that perception of love really love? Or is it based on a dependency factor? Is it based upon that? Or is it based upon real true love, brothers and sisters? What's going to happen when that wife, or whatever you call it, no longer there anymore to be able to go ahead and be there with you, when you have that dependency on that individual? What's going to happen, brothers and sisters? Why is it that we have on these pages anybody can be a celebrity? Because now this is the generation of you, me, my, or I. That's what this generation is all about. It's all about self and the ego and the wickedness of this beast. And you know what? That back to the possession thing, you, brothers and sisters, are possessions of this beast. And you, brothers and sisters, represent that mark of the beast because it's all over you in your ways, in your actions, your activities, until you get to the point to where you want to self-govern and come over here to the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High Almighty. And with that, we're coming down to the 30-second mark, and I will just give out the information, brothers and sisters. It's www.tribesaboriginalnations.com. You can also visit at www.templeofthemosthigh.org. Minister Shedrick, do you have any closing remarks you want to state, brother?
Yes, I do, brother. I do. I'll just leave the family with this. Everybody's stuck in this me, my, I mentality, but you don't even own the right to your last name. And on that note, I yield.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, brothers and sisters, we want to thank anybody that's able to listen. We want to go ahead and thank any callers that were here. We want to thank all you brothers and sisters for paying attention and listening and vibing with us and rocking with us and, you know, listening to us for an hour. So I want to give an honors to brothers and sisters. I'd like to give an honors to Minister Shedrick and, of course, our priests and all the brothers and sisters
thank
of the
you,
nation.
Bro.
And with that, brother, we will go ahead and yield, and we will say shalom, shalom.
Shalom, brothers and sisters.
Shalom, relatives.
Shalom, brother.
Yes, sir.